This episode is brought to you by Summer School Electronics. With pedals like the Snow Day Delay, the Pep Rally Fuzz, the Trash Panda, and my personal favorite, the Science Fair, which is two classic dirt pedals in one with a mid-boosted overdrive on one side, a black lab rat circuit on the other, and a blend knob to blend between them to find the perfect classic stacked dirt sound you're looking for, it's hard not to find something you'll love. Mark builds all of his pedals by hand in Syracuse, New York, where he also works as a full-time educator. In addition to the super fun graphics on their pedals, Mark also offers custom artwork. Want your dog's face on a pedal? He can do it. Want your face on a pedal? He can make that happen too. Go over to summerschoolelectronics.com and make sure to tell them that 40 Watt Podcast sent you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode, 40 Watt Podcast. Here we are. Wasn't here last week. I appreciate y'all understanding my being out. Had a blast at Juke Joint Festival in Clarksdale, Mississippi. I played 6 gigs all told with different people, my own band, did a bunch of acoustic stuff. I had such a wonderful time getting to see people I haven't seen in a long time and play with some musicians that I haven't gotten to play with in a long time. Ended up, one of the gigs was a complete surprise. I actually showed up to a jam at one venue and a guy was getting ready to leave. He said, "Hey man, I can't make this next gig. You want to fill in?" And so I ended up with a 3-hour gig just off the cuff, because that's just how things happen sometimes. Nice. So I literally walked in, walked right back out, ended up going to play a gig. It was a great time, had a complete blast. So that's why I didn't go to NAMM. I hear NAMM happened. Yeah, that was fine. It was good. And last week, of course, it was the week before I was off, because last week I did have an episode with Adrian Thorpe from Thorpe EFX. Also a great time. So appreciate all of you hanging out. You can tell that I've been busy because I'm not sure what week it is. Isn't it amazing? But let's get a couple things off the bat, get things going. Thank you, all my Patreon supporters. Thank you for the support you bring to this podcast and make things happen. For example, I have a Patreon supporter on today as part of this show. Isn't that great how it works? Podcast supporting podcasts. It's a fun time. So if you want to support the podcast, you can go over to 40 Watt Podcast. Go over to 40 Watt Podcast for links, or you can go straight to patreon.com/40 Watt Podcast, and you can help keep this show going. If you want, you can just donate a ton of money and tell me to stop. That'd be interesting. It's like when I used to play gigs and people would request Mustang Sally, and I would tell them, I'd put the tip bucket at the front of the stage and say, "You know what? I'll play it, but the quality of the version you get is directly proportional to how much money goes in the tip bucket." And I did that once, and I had a guy come up and start putting money in. We had 2 tip buckets on different sides of the stage. I had a guy start putting money in the other tip bucket for us not to play it, and not play it one. It was pretty fantastic. So if you want to do that, you can do that too. Moving on, though, got a lot of things to talk about, y'all. This is going to be one of the more gear-centric podcasts you were probably used to me doing, because I've got Scott from the Effects Loop podcast. How are you, Scott?
I'm good. That's what happens when you bring me on. We start talking about gear, because I'm your gear friend.
That's it. You gotta have some of those gear friends. I'm lucky to have you and a couple others that I'm like constantly messaging. Over on the Discord, we have an entire channel called Gear Pushers, and Ooh. It's literally all of us just telling each other to buy gear. It's a really bad place if you're a gear addict.
How many times do you see Emperor Palpatine just going, "Do it"?
Usually it's Kermit Palpatine.
Oh.
It's the Kermit version saying "Do it," but yes, it's a lot. It's a whole lot.
I appreciate that. I like it.
There's a lot of Mandalorian "This is the way" references.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a good one.
Those happen a lot.
Yeah.
So if you're into Discord, listeners, come on over to the Discord. It's completely free. You can hop in. You don't have to be a Patreon supporter, although Patreon supporters do get their own little special channel. So Scott, we were talking on your podcast this week. Actually, I think we talked about it before we even started recording. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of in a weird place, and I think a lot of people are getting this way, and I think it's time we start we talk again, because we're revisiting the topic of, I don't know what to call it, bedroom playing. I don't know if we need to call it studio playing.
Okay, so I detest people calling their homes studios, just out there.
Uh-huh.
Because studio implies a level of quality that you practicing at home does not necessarily
but it
matter.
Doesn't. But like, studio is a term that comes from visual arts, too. And it's literally a room that an artist puts their canvas.
It is. It's just one of those things that just I know too many douchey people that refer to their like home office or something like that as their studio. And
well, that's where the term home studio is. It can be a home studio.
You know, to be honest with you, so by day, we've talked about this before, I'm an acoustics designer. So I design buildings for sound, and I've done a few radio stations. And to be honest, my workstation at home is more equipped than some radio station smart studios.
Yep.
But a smart studio is actually probably the technical term for most people's home workstation. You got speakers, you got one mic, maybe a mixing console. Basic kind of thing, but whatever. Let's just, you know, it's home recording without necessarily. I think we're going to get into the no amp or silent amp,
right?
Kind of world,
Amp, no amp, kind of thing. Because
I laugh at this idea that you're like, oh, maybe it's time we revisit. It's basically me every time I'm hanging out with you. I'm slowly pulling you into the digital world, and I think I think I'm the early adopter of your friends in a lot of these things. So
you are, and well, I lived that Helix life for a couple of years. I did the thing, and I like the Helix. I still really like the Helix platform. But
you never went full. I mean, you'll say you went full Helix, but you never, in my opinion, you never went full Helix because you were still using the power cabs. So you're still trying to live the amp life.
I did go 100% direct for a few Sundays, but our music director actually wanted cabs. She wanted sound on stage. So,
interesting. I've never...
She wanted us to have some live sound on stage. So I brought the cab. So I'm really... conflict, because listener, right now, if you are listening to this podcast when it releases or within the first few days of it releasing, Neural DSP is having a sale on all of their software packages, like the Tone King Imperial, the Corey Wong Suite. There's a bunch of them on there. I'm not going to go through all of them. The Soldano. The only software they don't currently have on sale is the Mesa Boogie, because it's too new. So they haven't done that one. But everything else is 50% off. So I have been doing the 14-day trials to check this stuff out. And let me tell you that I'm selling my Mesa Boogie. I do not need it. That part's done. Like, that's happening. I bought the Mesa Boogie earlier this year. Actually, just this year, I bought the Mesa Boogie Mark V 35-watt head. I love it, but it's not a sound I'd ever use live. It's just not. I play blues, soul, Americana music. And so the Mesa Boogie doesn't really get me where I need to be. So
my memory. When I was on last, we were doing Scott's amp journey. So you were trying to pull me into the dark side of buying more amps.
Yeah.
Did you own the Mesa yet?
I did already own the Mesa.
Wasn't it right about then you just bought that Mesa?
I had it for just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Now, here's the deal. I'm still buying more amps. That's a whole conversation we'll talk about a little later. So I'm not having amps. What I am doing is making sure that the amps I own are things I would use live. Like, really want to use live. The Mesa Boogie sounds great, but it's still not what I'm going to use live. I'm going to take, you know, a Fender or the Two Rock or a Divided by 13. So I tried out the Mesa Boogie suite from Neural DSP, and I was like, oh, I can get that sound at home for fun and not have to own an amp that does it. And it sounds this good. Then yeah, this is getting sold. Yeah, I'm moving.
And you get that 4x12 sound.
Which, yeah, I get, because I'm I as much as I talk about wanting to buy a 4x12.
We'll be right back.
This podcast is supported in part by String Joy Strings. I'm a snob, at least that's what people tell me. I'm never okay with good enough, and that's where String Joy Strings come in. They're better than good enough. They're the best. String Joy are making some of the finest strings available today right up the road from me in Nashville, Tennessee. They offer custom sets, balanced tension, coated strings, the works. If you need it, they can probably make it happen. you should be using StringJoy Strings. And if you're going to order from them, you really could help this podcast out by clicking the affiliate link down in the description or show notes below. You get amazing strings. I get a little bit of that back to help the show keep going. It's a win-win situation. Get your StringJoy Strings today.
Yeah, I mean, let's just be clear. I sit there and I fanboy for Neural, but without fanboying too hard. I also say, if you've been waiting on a lot of those Neural things, they've been rewriting a lot of them so that their processor hits are a lot lighter, and they're optimizing them all for, you know, the new Apple Silicon stuff. So they're getting easier to run, which was the big complaint when it first came out. People were like, oh, I can't run Pro Tools and this.
Right.
And let's just be honest, Pro Tools just won't run on anything correctly. So that's just what it is. Apple makes three computers. Why can't Pro Tools actually work on any of them? yeah, they're so cool. They're cheap, man. Like $100 is nothing.
No. And right now, like I said, they're half price. So
$50.
$50 for the next whatever days after this drops.
Yeah, that's good.
It's really, really good. That Tone King package is as good as everyone said it was. It blew my mind how good it sounded. So this is the other thing that it sort of did for me, and this is where I'm going to maybe make someone angry. And Scott, this is really where we picked up this conversation, is that I'm at a point where these sound so good, these software packs, these plugins. I do love the fact that they can be standalone, by the way, that you don't have to open your DAW to do them. I do want to find a VST host software so I can run certain things like Helix Native and stuff like that without having to go into my DAW. But
I got one. I'll send it to you.
Oh, good. That'd be awesome. So I'm of the opinion at this point. I have the Two Notes Captor X. And I love the Two Notes Captor X. I think it is a great unit. You have one as well, I believe.
I'm rubbing it right now. Unfortunately, it's off camera.
Yeah, it's okay. But yeah, I love that thing. But I think these software plugins sound better than my amp through the Two Notes into. By the time it's converted into digital and it goes through, even as good as the Two Notes wall of sound is, and it's very, very good, I think the Neural stuff sounds better. So if I'm going to go direct, why am I going to use something else when I've got a plugin package? Why am I going to have an amp in here and a captor when I don't need it? I don't use the captor live. I don't bother.
You don't?
No, I don't use it live.
Oh, that's a great tool for live too.
It's fine. Most of the places I play, we've had this discussion, most of the places I play, if the guitar goes into the mains, it's barely. And there's not a substantial enough monitor solution for me to feel comfortable playing using monitors as my sound.
Yeah, but shaving, I would just simply say for the shaving 3 or 4 dB off your signal, so you can push your amp hard enough, but you've got stuff with master volumes on them, so you're good.
Yeah, and I use a plexiglass shield when I want to really crank them.
Okay, that works.
Yeah, and it does the job. So
I mean, I've played live with the Two Notes, and I've played silently live with the Two Notes, which is a fun one of like leaving a ton of notes. I'm like, hey guys, if you move my amp, do not touch it. The big problem with playing live with the Two Notes in silent mode is you accidentally leave your amp on.
Yeah,
because it's not humming. You don't have that still coming from the room or the hiss while you walk by it.
I definitely walked in the other day and the Mesa was on, and I don't remember how long it had been on.
It's mostly okay.
Yeah, and it's mostly fine. But yeah, so, and I, as much as I like the captor, I've sort of always struggled to get like the cleanest sound out of it. Because I actually believe when I play it, and I've tried all the cabs, I've tried all the things, if I plug an actual cab in and don't change any settings on the amp, compared to the sound that I'm getting in the DAW. And it's more than just, oh, you're getting it as if it was in a speaker, mic'd, and then into a... The amp tends to be more saturated. It tends to be less dynamic. It does a lot of things that really kind of frustrate me. And
So there's a lot of that going on in the captor, whether you have it on or off. There is one, their IRs are running through some processing. When I say processing, I mean like it could be an outboard processor, like a desk or whatever, you know, whatever it's running through. There's a built in, I think it's a 1176 modeled compressor in the two notes that you can control on the second page. There's a sweetening, like EQ, that you can throw on. EQ. And then there's like a magic EQ thing that you can also mess with. You've got that reverb built in.
And so, I turn all these things off. As much as I can turn off, I turn it off.
Okay. I find that stuff, I find it gets actually a little sterile with that. And that's part of where like the sweetness in the two notes comes from for me.
Yeah. They've got the EQ, the enhancer, the reverb. I've actually found that it also adds this weird, when I use the two notes, it adds this weird like fizz on the top end, just a little, just enough that it really frustrates me. And it does it with every amp I use.
Have you messed with the high-low switch?
Yeah.
Okay, because I get that when it's on the wrong setting.
I literally cannot use it on one of the settings because it just clips like crazy. So I have to go to the other setting. Yeah. And it still, even when it doesn't say it's clipping, even without a clipping, it just does not give me the sound of my amps. It sounds good, and I've loved using it and having the option. But there's always been that little bit in my head that I'm like, this doesn't sound, this isn't exactly right.
And you're sure that you're not clipping your audio card?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Okay. Interesting. I haven't experienced that. I've had some tinniness when I've had settings wrong, but
No, I've had this weird fizz at the top that I hear that really drives me crazy. And I can't dial it out. I've tried, amp turned super low, two notes turned, super everything, like low and high. And I've tried every variation of every gain stage in the signal chain and bring it as low as it can be. And there's still this weird, it's almost an artifact on the top end.
Interesting.
It drives me crazy. And I just came to accept it, to be honest. I was like, oh, well, that's just the way this is. This is how it's going to work. But then I played the Neural.
Yeah,
are they the right solution now?
So one of the first things, once you jump to the modeling world, one of the things you do fall in love with is how quiet everything is. And so it just all sounds more hi-fi because you have more dynamic range.
Yep.
Just because your quiets are actually quiet. And every stage of your quiet is quiet, not just like your noise gate in the front. They are just inherently quieter. Some people are like, oh, I hate that. It means it's unnatural, whatever. As someone who has to be quiet and then do what I do and then get quiet again, I stinking love it. And the last time I played with a real amp, I was battling that noise.
Mm.
I was like, oh, I'm too loud. Oh, I got to cut this out. What? It's making noise when I'm not playing. So like we were having trouble with the gating and all that kind of stuff. So that to me right away, that's one of those things that's just like, oh, this is awesome. Especially when the other great thing with these plugins is you can just leave them on and you can just leave them open and you can just plug in and start playing whenever you want. You don't have to worry about tube time.
Yep.
They're quiet when you unplug your guitar, as long as you don't have bad cables.
Yeah. It was really funny when we sat down before we got ready to record, before I sent you the link. I sat down, pulled my mic down, put my headphones in, was checking levels, and like, why does it sound like that? Oh, I still had it open. So, because I just unplugged my guitar from the Hi-Z input, and so it switched back over to the microphone, it's running my mic through the Tone King with overdrive and delay. So it was fun. It was real fun.
That's a fun idea. Yeah,
it's quiet. You don't know it's on. Also, I just the flexibility in it. I've been really, really impressed. I've not been as impressed with any digital solution like I have been with that Neural. And that really caught me off guard. I wasn't ready to be that impressed by it.
I mean, it's been a long journey to get here when you really think about it. Like back in the day, I remember having Guitar Rig 3 or whatever it was.
I think I still have 5 somewhere.
I think I have 5 too. And then there was Waves GTR and there was 11 Rack. And then there was PRS did these Waves plugins.
Oh, yeah.
Which were legitimately pretty good if you can dial them in right, but you had to get like your input settings kind of figured out, and no one read the manual, so they didn't know to hit that magic like tune-up button.
Well, then you had the built-in stuff in Logic that's decent.
That stuff was decent. If you're in the Universal Audio world, there's some built-in amps in the Apollo stuff.
Yep, there are. I've played through those a little bit.
That's actually pretty good. And I mean, people like Corey Wong were using those just like straight up, and that's, you know, there's a photographer. I might be mispronouncing this quote, but bear with me here. I think it was Bresson, the French photographer, and it was the best camera is the one that you have with you.
Yeah.
And there's a real truth to that of just like, if you have the tool open and it's ready to go, it's the right tool. And there's a reason why I kind of want like a good acoustic that I can leave out, which is just not an option here in Chicago during the winter. But, you just pick it up and you play and you don't have to mess with anything. There's something great about that just is easy and accessible. And the more crap you add on, yes, there's more options, and that's sometimes a really bad thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like that's why I have Helix Native. It's why I don't use it though. There's so much.
Yeah, you just get lost in the weeds, right?
Absolutely. Completely lost. Too many options. I'm not a person who needs to have that many options. Mm-hmm. I just sold off the Strymon Strifecta, you know, the Mobius timeline and the Big Sky because it was too many options. It was too much. And I do this every time I try to get into that world. And then I realize I'm a simpleton and this is not what I need in my life. I need maybe two different sounds out of a pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Well, so there's something to be said. The shorter your sound check is.
Hmm.
Right. We've both run mega boards at different times in our lives. And what do you always spend your mega board? You're like, oh yeah, I've got this button down. It's awesome. I've got all the tied down. It's all great. There's always a cable that's acting up, or there's always something, or there's a knob that got bumped or something like that. And like, this is where I keep pushing the modelers is, I was the guy who wanted all the options. I have a massive board with MIDI and presets, and I'm always exploring their tones, and that's fun, but it's amazing how much I locked in a board and just have not strayed from it. And it simplified me and it made my playing better because I just not looking at my pedals, I'm not looking at my feet, I'm looking up, I'm looking at the drummer, I'm communicating with the band through my body language, I'm playing better.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I tend to end up with a board and it stays from, I think, longer than the average guitarist, if I'm honest. I don't know about, you know, super long, but I do tend to find a setup that works and hold on to it. I just revamped my board, obviously, because I sold off the Strymon, so I've been kind of nailing that down, what that's going to look like. But now I think I've got one spot that isn't settled. I'm sort of swapping some things in and out. The Zen Drive is in that one spot right now. We'll see if that stays there. But but that's it. And that thing, that's why I love these plugins. You open them up and it's just, you're ready to go. You're rolling.
Yeah. I think there's also something like, this is why default presets exist on all these tools.
And they used to always suck.
They used to always suck. Now they're good. And that's because companies have realized, one, this is everyone's first impression of this thing. It needs to be good.
Yep. It needs to be good.
It's actually part of why like Taylor using Elixir strings help their brand was, oh, you always pick up the guitar in the store and the strings are dead when it's a nice guitar. And you're like, why don't I like this one?
Yeah.
I should like this. And it's like, oh, because the strings are dead and they suck. But you pick up something with Elixirs on it, the strings are still good.
Yep, that's it.
So I think the same concept. First time I open Helix Native, it better be good.
Right.
Or I'll think Helix sucks and I'll go fanboy over something else because there's just too many options.
Which is sort of what Line 6 finally learned it. No, their presets are pretty good. They're okay now. The Strymon presets were really good.
Most people don't use anything but the Strymon presets.
That's all I used. Slightly edited, because I always found that delay mix was always too high on almost every setting for the things I do.
That's the demo it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Line 6 now has all the artist profiles that come with their products. You don't just get the stock ones they came up with. You get some artists and some guitarists who have made some patches for them.
Honestly, so I had the UA Dream a few a while ago. I only liked the artist patches that came with it. I couldn't dial in anything good for myself that I was like, oh, I really love this.
Yeah, I played that last year at your place, and I had a hard time trying to dial it in, too. It actually gave me a pretty negative impression of that pedal.
Yeah, we should have pulled out the app and showed you some of the the presets. But there's a reason it's not here anymore. But those things are there. And again, it's the just plug in and play and you're ready to go. Whether you run it on your pedal board or you run it in your computer. The nice thing with the computer is you're just not worried about anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a cord.
I have a cable that goes to my interface and that's it. Yeah.
I mean, you and I are people that leave our interfaces set up all the time.
Right.
So we have we both have desks. We have permanent situations. I can see. There was the thing that just came out. Was it IK Multimedia just came out with a new iRig, like single iRig for laptops? It was I think Antelope Audio did one too. Someone did a pairing with Tim Henson where it actually came with an extended preview of the Tim Henson Neural plugin. And that's the idea, is it's something slim that works with your laptop players where you're just walking around and just setting it up. And with what we have these days, I mean, I used to travel a lot for work and you could not bring an electric guitar and have something reliable around. And then there were terrible options. Now with Tonex and all these other kind of things that are out there, it's so easy to have like your rig with you.
It is really, really handy. And it's getting even more accessible. I mean, we talked about it on your podcast, but with the new product from Boss,
The new recording interface,
the Gigcaster or whatever they call it, that's got the G1000 built into it.
Yeah, brilliant.
So I was listening to Chasing Tone this week, and Blake has one, and he played guitar in the episode through the Gigcaster, and it sounded incredible. It's a ridiculously simple product that covers a whole lot of needs for people. I'm not a person who likes headphone playing. I prefer to have some speakers. So if I didn't have studio monitors, I think I wouldn't mesh as well if I were having to play on headphones all the time.
Yeah.
But, there's the options really are getting better. Now, I am always going to be, because I am stubborn and I'm going to drag heel, but I'm always going to be a live, I'm an amp person because I've tried the digital thing. I've tried silent stage. I've tried not silent stage. I've tried, all these other options. I'm a person who just wants to have an amplifier on stage. And if it's my gig, if I've got the option, I'm bringing my amps and that's just what I'm going to play. Now if I'm hired to play somebody else's gig, I'll figure it out. That's their gig. They're the boss. But if it's my gig, I'm bringing an amp.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, back when I used amps, I actually started wind up when I had a consistent gig with the church, so I just left them at the church. So I needed something to practice at home that was consistent. I used a digital amp at home, and it worked. That was kind of the beginning of the journey. I was using the Wave stuff then. Okay. So it's not you. The beauty with all these plugins is you don't have to sell anything really to get them.
Yeah, you don't.
This is not like you sitting here you want that new Two Rock, right?
Right.
So that Mesa is looking like it's about time to go because you need the money that's in that Mesa to get into that Two Rock.
That's exactly right.
But to get into that Tone King plugin, you can probably either A, find that cash, or two, okay, here's a pedal, gone, whatever.
Yeah. Or don't buy coffee out for the next 2 weeks and you'll be fine.
Yeah. For bougie people like that, yeah.
Hey, chill out. I like my coffee. I like my bougie coffee.
I'm just teasing you because I stopped drinking coffee, but I buy teas everywhere. So whatever.
Oh well, yeah, you
the ritual.
You didn't change the dollar. Yeah. You didn't change the financial aspect.
No, it actually went up because I'll go get a chai somewhere. So now I'm buying a latte instead of just a drip coffee. So all right, whatever. Going back to that, I mean, you have the other side of you can't sell those plugins when you're done with them.
Yeah.
You also have the wonderfully awful thing with technology is how long is it going to be supported and how long is it going to run? We have these 1960s and 1970s pieces of equipment that need maintenance. But as we talked on my show, we have it. There's a 77 Champ sitting behind me right now with needs for parts. I haven't gotten the soldering iron out since we've last talked because I don't have that time.
Yeah.
And my Wednesday night that was free, I had to spend, you know, talking to you. So
yeah, it's fine. It's good. Yeah, but I mean, those things can be fixed.
Those can be fixed and they can be resold. So the value prop of them is different. And we've all been burned by something where we bought it and it was like, we only got like a year out of it and it was dead. And so is $100 worth it for a year? Are you going to get it for 20 years? I think Neural is going to have an interesting thing coming up here in a couple of years where they're going to need to charge for the next level of support or an update, and people are going to get pissed at them because their plugins are a little too cheap right now.
Right.
And this is like what Waves runs into.
Well, Waves went to the subscription plan, and then they got all the backlash because of all the people who had bought their products and had them.
Yeah, I have a confession to make there.
What's that?
I have now bought the Waves subscription.
Did you really?
Because it was cheaper than reviving, renewing my plan for a 1 year.
Yeah.
And it covers two machines.
They did back up on those things. Like all the people who had bought it and owned them, you know, in their iLock or whatever, they're going to still keep those. But all the people who were on like a plan, some kind of annual, it's like, no, you're going to have to go to this.
Now, I will be expensing that soon.
Well, yeah.
So there's also that side of it. If $200 out of my pocket a year is very different than $200 out of my company's budget for a year.
Right.
So especially when we, you know, I'll turn around and charge a client a couple grand for what I'm doing with it and, you know, those kind of things. So like those costs get justified really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway. Rabbit hole. Let's dial this back.
the rabbit holes are good. Yeah. It's fine. But there's a real thought to that, and there's a real conversation to be had about, you know, if you're worried about value, then you know some of this doesn't make any sense. If you're worried about the best tool to do the job right now, and I'm not worried about resale, that's a totally different conversation too.
Yeah, and at $100, I think that is one thing. I mean, it is annoying you only get one amp. I think a lot of people would want. They'd happily pay $200 to $300 and have all the Neural plugins.
Right.
And I don't think it's crazy to think that at some point that will become a $10 or $15 a month kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what Slate did. That's what Waves does. That's what everyone is moving to. So that might become a subscription thing here. Now, let's talk about Neural's not the only option here.
No, they're not the only game.
So there's been some really cool, fun developments. And I don't know. I don't think I've even talked on my show about one of them.
What's that?
The Neural Amp Modeler. It's not Neural as in the company. It's a Neural Network Amp Modeler. NAM.
Okay. Yeah.
It's open source. It's out there. It runs on a cloud. And there's all you have to be technically savvy to kind of get this thing up and running. Yeah. And so, you know, but it is a amp capture tech as well.
That's right. I saw something open about these. Thing. Where
did yeah, I see Brian recently? Wampler just recently started playing with it.
Oh, that's right. That's probably where I saw it.
I heard about it first from Tone Junkies. You probably don't follow Tone Junkies, but what Jonathan's doing over, sorry, HW is doing over there. he messed with it really early on because that's. He makes his income on creating captures of amps.
Yeah.
Or at least he pays for the amps that he buys doing that.
Right.
And so, you know, that's diversification. Now, it'd be really great if these things became universalized where all these hardwares use the same kind of thing and like one could transfer to the other really easily. But that's not going to happen.
How long did it take the iPhone to take a USB-C plug?
How long does that take?
Yeah, it
still doesn't.
I think it's around 20 years.
Yeah, I got my first iPhone when I was 21, and that was the second iPhone. So they came out when I was 20.
Yeah, 04?
I'm 36 now.
Yeah, so, or maybe it was 07. Yeah, it was 07. It's somewhere in that range. Yeah, anyway, so
something like 16 years ago.
A long time ago, but now they're about to have to. Like, all the iPhones are about to come with USB-C.
Yeah, I was about to make a joke that an iPhone can drive a car now, but that's actually not that far off.
No, it's really not.
Because Apple's working on that.
Yeah. But so there's other options. I really want to check out this neural ant modeler. I did. Just heard Brian, it was Brian when he started talking about it.
It's
I haven't had a chance to even look at it. And it's free.
It's free, 100% but you free. Also have to be comfortable navigating GitHub.
Right.
Which is a dangerous thing to
be a little tech savvy.
Yeah, a lot of tech savvy. And also that's a nebulous space. And I guarantee some jerk is going to like create just download neural ant modeler here. And it's going to have pirateware on it as well.
Yeah.
So, be careful in that world. If you don't know what you're doing, stop. Don't.
Or do and video it and put it on Instagram for me so I can watch. I mean, either way.
Yeah.
Either way works for me.
The other really, again, quite affordable option out there is Tonex.
Yeah. Tonex, I said it when it came out. It changed the game because before that hardware, you couldn't get into hardware and a software package that could do what it does for less than $1,700.
I mean, it was Kemper was the only name in town until their patent ran out. But yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you look at the Quad Cortex or you look at the the Head Rush 2 can do it.
But the way IK Multimedia rolled it out was battling its own brand. Like, you know, we all have that cheapness kind of thing with IK Multimedia. Don't get me wrong, I have a lot of IK Multimedia stuff. I use it for work.
Yeah.
That Pro Duo thing running two channels into my iPad. Love it. Love it for work. They release it as that software first with some associated reamping hardware, which confused a lot of people because I think people thought they needed that reamping hardware to use it, but they didn't. So it was the first one who just said, you already own all this crap. Just plug in and use our software. By the way, it's only how expensive was it? $100? $200?
It was cheap. We talked about it when you got the email about it.
Yeah. And I still feel guilty for getting a vendor code and not exploiting it to the full. Like I don't use it enough, but like that would have been a great thing for you. I think you'd be in the similar experience right now. And then as that community grows, that the sounds that are available are going to get better and better. You're just at the mercy of trying to navigate through the sea of crappy profiles that will exist. The same way the Kemper store is full of just garbage.
Yeah, bad captures. People didn't know what they were doing.
And yeah, and then you go buy Tone Junkies ones and you're like, oh, these are good. These are really good. These all sound the same, but they're really good. Or Michael Britt or, you know, Sela Sounds or, I mean,
any of the folks that do that's what they know. Sort of like with IRs. If you just get like, I made some IRs at one time, like I made, I don't know, 6 or 7 IRs. One of them I actually think was really good. The rest of them were like, they're fine. But, you know, the things I get in Wall of Sound for free were better.
Well, and we can go back to the should we buy a Two Notes discussion. I banged up against the wall eventually I didn't have the one cab I really wanted.
Right.
Now, what's beautiful about Wall of Sound is they let you try them for a minute.
Mm-hmm. And you can still use it as a plug-in without having the Captor X if you want to do something else into it.
That too. But, I mean, most of us don't have the hardware to get a safe signal into that.
Well, I mean, if you want to use it with some other type of plug-in, you can use it as a cab.
So there are direct boxes out there that you can plug between the speaker and the amp. Mm-hmm. And depending on the transformer wind, you can just get a line level signal out of there. So that's
you own one of them.
That I do. Yep. I have never used it in that capacity.
Yeah, I haven't used it in that capacity either, but I have one, the Weber Z-Matcher.
The Z-Matcher can do that too.
Yeah, Z-Matcher has
a line. Okay, so I have more than one.
Yeah, you have more than one. there's a bunch of products that can do that. You can get a line level, you can run straight in. And then there's some amps that just have a line level out.
That too.
They're few and far between. You tend to see it in the 70s a lot.
No, I mean, it's actually really common again.
Oh, is it common now?
Everyone's doing but they have like a fixed IR on it and you can flip it on and off.
Yep.
That's super common. Or you're even seeing two notes technology just built into a lot of amps. Like,
well, it's like the new Ashdown guitar amps have two notes built into them.
Yeah.
It's really good. It, you know, even this Mesa I've got has their cab clone built into it. But it's got the first cab clone, which was not very good.
The one that got Pete Honore fired from Mesa?
I didn't know that story.
I don't think he got fired, but it did wind up. It's funny, like, you know the story of, like, Andertons did a demo of the cab clone, and then, Pete Honore was working for Mesa at the time as, like, their brand rep.
I didn't know that.
And so he came in and was like, well, so here's what you did wrong. And, like, they were comparing it of, like, all the using a Royer and a 57 together.
Yeah.
And they're like, the cab clone is a 57 on its own. Compare them properly.
Right.
And, like, they re-ran the demo as an apology demo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, because I'm sure Andertons didn't enjoy. I don't know why Andertons put out a video of them not enjoying something.
Yeah.
But they did. Which I think helped their credibility, but also kind of made them look like clowns. But I think that kind of started some of the relationship, and now Pete's with them.
Interesting. Yeah, I know that I had tried the standalone cab clone before and was not, I did not like that.
It was, that was the era. I mean,
yeah.
Things have gotten a lot better since Sans amps.
Oh, man. I know everybody, like, we're at that age now. We're at that year where people are like, nostalgic about the Sans amp.
I mean, the bass driver DI is still fantastic, but
it's fine. It works. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm that lunatic who still mics a bass amp if he can. But that's me because I like the sound of the bass amp way more than I like the sound of the DI.
I'm about to start exploring that with something that you'll have to listen to my show next week to talk about.
There we go. Absolutely. Make sure you listen to the effects loop. The links are down below. They're all down there. Make sure you check all that out. So I don't know what this is going to mean for me as far as like, because I'm still in a bedroom, right? And I can't get the best sound miking an amp or doing anything like that. I'm playing at home late at night a lot of times. When I play live, I still take amps. But just being able to plug into the Neural, it meant a lot to me. And y'all are probably listening to this. If you're listening to this, thank you. And yelling at me like, this has been around. You had a Helix. You know this. Yeah, but it just didn't sound as good. I'm just going to be honest. It did not sound as good as it does right now with these plugins.
Well, or another fun concept, just throwing it out there. Next time you have one of your musicals, bring your laptop.
Don't think I'm there yet. I could. Actually, to be honest, I think I'd probably have to. The musicals are like, they have to be like that.
This might be a way for you to get your silent stage fix without jumping into a full modeler.
That's a good point. I would just need some way to change settings on the fly. That's the only thing that gets in the way.
Did you already sell your Morningstar?
I did. It is gone. Yeah, no, it's gone.
Something like that.
Yeah. There are cheaper, there are available options to do that. Heck, I can just buy that super cheap Behringer MIDI board that they had out for a long time and it'll work perfectly. But having said that, I'm moving some things. It definitely meant the Mesa Boogie was on the chopping block. As we kind of get towards the end here, because I want to save some stuff for Patreon, I've added this section, I think, since the last time you were on, where we talk about what are you hunting for? Are you looking for anything? What's a piece of gear that's got you focused on right now?
Well, I just spent a lot of money on gear, so I'm trying not to hunt.
That's true.
I'm still in my don't buy any guitars this year. Goal.
Yeah, so that's an interesting prospect. Like, is there a caveat, like you could trade for something, or you're just not getting guitars?
No, because we were talking about this before we started recording. I've got a buddy selling a guitar that I would seriously consider buying. It would be the fourth of that guitar that I'd ever own. Wow. So a common friend of both of ours is selling a Titan KR1, which was Cowher's sub brand. We both love Cowher's.
Cowher guitars.
I bought one of those 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, became my number one guitar for a while. During the pandemic, I wound up picking up a second one.
Right.
Because they have those interchangeable pick guards, and I was like, this is awesome. But what the problem is, I only use the one that I have set up at any given point. In that one, it came with a extra body. So, cause like when Titan was closing down, Doug sold off a bunch of blanks and parts and stuff like that. Like, or gotcha. Like things that just weren't up to snuff. Like it, the body was a refin, you know, things like that. And then I found a neck. And then I sold the guitar for what I bought it for. So I kept the body for free and I've sold something else and I made a parts Titan. So at one point I had three assembled Titans. And then, you know, there's real thoughts of buying another one and then selling my parts Titan. So I have two real ones again, because this one has a Bigsby on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So... Yeah, there's thoughts of that. But anyway, they're such a killer deal, those Titans guitars. Like the fact that the used market is like $850 to $950 on them right now.
Yeah, they're like they don't exist.
That's Mexican Fender prices now.
Mm-hmm. Real like, close.
It's insane. Like it's the nice Mexican Fenders, but it's Mexican Fenders nonetheless. They're insanely good guitars. Grover Jackson made the necks for a while on them.
Mm-hmm.
Just insane. So anyway, I was thinking about that. But no, I just upgraded my bass. So that's going to get subbed out. I'm gonna be selling my other bass here soon. I wanted a PJ. So that's what's coming.
That tracks. If you're only going to have one bass, that's the bass to have.
Yeah, an active PJ nonetheless will help out a lot. Yeah. So I'll actually admit what that is on the show next week. But... And then I was doing the amp journey thing.
Yeah.
Quickly kind of learned I didn't really want to do the amp journey.
Yeah.
Also quickly learned, and I really haven't finished this job yet. So we were doing the amp journey. You were pointing me toward the Z-Rec. I went and tried a Z-Rec.
Junior. And was
just did Z-Rec Junior fine. Yeah. But didn't have the Dr. Z cab with it. And so I tried a bunch of different cabs, and that's where like this whole like, oh my God, cabs is such a crazy thing. And then you went, but you have a two notes, which means you have all the cabs.
Yeah.
And so I went down this road and you were part of the demo where I ran a blue, a gold, a green, a creamback, all these kind of things, just the same riff, same amp settings through all these different speakers, thanks to the two notes being available. And that was really eye opening of just how much the speaker changes an amp. So then that was like, oh, I actually really like an AC circuit. I really like my AC-15. I just might want an El Nico Gold in there and I'm happy. So that's sort of where that's all sitting and I haven't done anything with it. And then I want to buy that Tremonti, that PRS Tremonti amp to do the high gain thing, like the same way you went with the Mesa. That was kind of my cheaper version of doing that. And be honestly with you, there was like the week I got it, played with it, got really frustrated with not finding a cab setting I really liked, because it's all about cabs with high gain amps. Oh my
absolutely.
Word. And that's just getting dusty and sitting. So I don't really know what I'm chasing anymore. I think I'm kind of at a spot right now where I'm just like, I'm actually trying to focus on singing a little bit more again. So it's just acoustic guitar and singing now that I'm getting my voice back. So,
well, nice.
So I'm not really shopping. I think that's really what it is. It's like just things that make my life more convenient, and that's really it.
Yeah.
And also the fact that now my podcast just got re-sponsored by Electromotive Sound Company, which is, you know, there'll be some toys coming in from that. So all my itches are scratched.
Nice. Yeah, I've got to finish some demos up for Ben over at Electromotive Sound. Well, that's awesome, because I do have things I want, but it's been taking me a little while to break out of the yes and like of my gear. It's like, I want this, but, and I want this, and not, it's not an or. And so I'm having to realize that there are things I want and I want to have available certain sounds, but I'm only going to use them like you with the Tremonti. I'm going to use them once every now and again, but then I want to move on. And that's where I think these plugins are going to, they're really be they're going to really be valuable for me. Way more valuable than the, what if I buy the Tone King and the Mesa right now, it's $150. Yeah, that's worth way more to me than, you know, bouncing through buying gear and having it around the house for 6 months and then selling or trading it off. Mm-hmm.
I really should grab the demos of those neural ones at some point and just A/B them
mm-hmm.
to what's in the QC to see how far off they actually are.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I wonder if they're ever going to make good on the promise to be able to run the plugins in the QC.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen, but...
Well, what I would say is if they ever figure out how to just run VSTs
yeah.
as a block on a... Because they're an ARM processor, so that's just, it's a different language.
Right.
Like, if they just flat out just say any plugin VST can run, Quad Cortex suddenly...
Deal.
Yeah. Suddenly, well, I mean, the Headrush adding Auto-Tune was a big deal, too.
Yeah.
So imagine Auto-Tune now running on your Quad Cortex or yeah. Omnisphere on your Quad Cortex. All the crazy crap, you know?
Yeah, that would be insane. Omnisphere is a that whole suite is incredible.
Yeah. It would probably fry the Quad Cortex. I don't know if the power...
Yeah, I don't know if that processor's ready can run that much.
Those ARM processors are really impressive, but like
they are. But
if they're
I've
running
seen,
through compatibility layer, ugh.
I've seen Omnisphere break a Mac though.
Yeah, but it was like a 2012 Mac.
Well, yeah, but still, it just wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're gonna move on. We're gonna go over on the Patreon and talk about the things I am buying, the things that are in process. It'll be a while, listeners, but you'll see it over on the Instagram page and we'll talk about it. Maybe try to make a video. I keep saying I'll make videos on things and I just don't have time, but I'm going to try. But in the meantime, before we head out of here, I want to thank all of my Patreon supporters by name. I missed it on the last episode and I am so sorry, y'all. So thank you to Jordan Glash, Duncan Watson, Andy Johns, David Evangelista from the Guitar Dads podcast, Blake Jefferson, Nick Call, Andrew Hensley, Alan Gresham, Dan Pilver of Lewitt Microphones, Scott Hamilton of the Effects Loop.
You're welcome.
Andy Koning, Jim Burns, Tom Kelly, Heath Batt, Ben Fair of Electromotive Sound Company, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Jeffrey Walks, and Kyle Harris. I appreciate y'all being around. Appreciate y'all helping make sure this podcast happens. And it really means a whole lot to me that y'all hang out and chat and talk. And yeah. So, Scott, anything before we sign off you want to say? Obviously, everybody needs to go listen to the Effects Loop podcast if you want to get some gear news. Y'all always seem to find something I had not heard anything about, which is great.
That's cool. That's cool. We try to keep you in the loop.
There you go. And you do have the best theme song in all of podcast land, so... That is a thing indeed.
Yeah, it's a shame you talked over it this week.
That's okay. I don't listen to it when I'm on the episode, so it doesn't bother me. It doesn't matter. I'll pull it up on Spotify. But yeah, so we're going to head over to the Patreon. Listeners, again, thank you for hanging out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you did, make sure you like, subscribe, follow, comment, review, thumbs up, rate, whatever the words are. Do all those things, please. It really helps the show. But until we talk again, be good to yourselves, be kind to each other, and make some noise. This episode is brought to you by the supporters of 40 Watt Podcast over on Patreon. Go over to patreon.com/40wattpodcast, where for as little as $3 per month, you can help support the podcast and get every episode ad-free. For $5 a month, you'll get every episode ad-free, as well as a bonus episode every week. I can't overstate how thankful I am for the support of my patrons, and hope you'll consider joining the team and helping keep this show on the road.